As Jane Ann said, the reading this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, and it's the Magnificat, Mary's song. Magnificat is the Latin for magnifies. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm and scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God. In last Thursday's Washington Post, there was a smallish article in the national news section. It wasn't considered to be front page news, and it didn't even make it into the New York Times. And yet I found its headline shocking. Nearly 8 million Americans have fallen into poverty since summer. 8 million. And the subhead reads, "Nation's poverty rate has risen at its fastest pace ever this year after the aid for the unemployed declined." Now, I may be alone in finding this unacceptable. Clearly, Congress has not yet extended unemployment benefits that are set to expire after Christmas or sent stimulus checks to people who really need them. And in the spirit of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, I truly hope that on this day they are visited by the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Accepting a rapidly growing poverty rate is fundamentally a moral issue. Something closer to home happened a week ago. I got an email from a clergy colleague here in Fort Collins letting me know that the city and county were finally opening an isolation shelter for people who are experiencing both homelessness and COVID. There had been an outbreak at the temporary shelter on Blue Spruce Drive with 53 homeless folks and 8 staff members testing positive. So an isolation shelter was absolutely critical. Larimer County and the city, however, aren't covering the cost of food for these people who are living in isolation. Instead, they're counting on a local nonprofit, Homeward Alliance, to raise between $30,000 and $60,000 to cover the food costs. Last weekend, I wrote to every member of city council, and they said that they were concerned, and I wrote to the city manager's office, and they confirmed that Homeward Alliance will cover the food costs. Again, I hope that some of our local politicians are visited by the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Our congregation, led by our teens, raised about $20,000 this month for homelessness prevention. We're doing our part, but we can't do it alone. Now, if I was a bit jaded, I might be led to believe that many people in our country, especially political types, many of them don't really care very much about the poor. Would I be wrong in that assumption? And yet, we certainly hear some politicians crow loudly about America being a Christian nation and the perceived threat to the free practice of Christian religion in this nation. But shouldn't Christians care about what Jesus said? Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Personally, I don't consider it very faithful to ignore the poor and the hungry and the conditions that allow poverty to flourish. It all makes me wonder whether our nominally Christian politicians have ever heard Mary's song, the Magnificat, which is today's text. Any Episcopalians among them will hear it as part of Evensong. But sometimes its radical message gets disguised in a beautiful choral setting. Listening to some of these ethereal canticles, you would never know that Mary's words are an anti-imperial manifesto. Her words are powerful and raw. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. This is a subversive song of the kingdom of God that Mary sings and that her son proclaims. This is about socioeconomic jujitsu, throwing over the norms of this world, turning them on their head. And this is anything but the so-called prosperity gospel. It's not that the rich and the well-fed will be blessed. It's the poor and the hungry. I wonder how many Christians this year will hear the nativity stories and wonder why God sent Jesus not to a palace in Rome, but to a Judean peasant household. Not to well-educated, well-off parents, but to an unmarried young woman. And if they wonder about such things, do they go one step further and ponder what it might mean for them as people of faith? What does it mean for you? What does it mean for us here at Plymouth? You know, we can look at Mary's song and say, yeah, Caesar and Herod were really awful people who oppressed the poor. And we can do that without ever wondering who the Caesars and the Herods are around us today. Imperialism has not died off in the 2,000 years since Jesus' birth. If anything, it has flourished, especially among the nominally Christian nations of Europe and the supposedly Christian United States. Now, I know this isn't a very cheery conversation to have on the final Sunday of Advent, but it is an important part of the Christian message that we hear Mary's words of justice and that we don't domesticate Jesus into a baby who is perpetually meek and mild. You and I, we're given a choice about the path that we follow. We can follow the mainstream American path that invites us into a dog-eat-dog world of competition and survival of the fittest, where people are allowed to fall into poverty by the millions, where humans who are ill with COVID are sheltered but not fed by our local government. Now, they have made room at the inn. They just haven't fed the hungry. You and I, we're invited down a different path. It is the way of Jesus, the way of Mary, the way of God's realm, where the poor are fed and blessed. As Christians, we're called not just to acknowledge such parts of our faith, but to put them into practice and to encourage others to do the same. So if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, if you're not wrapping presents or trying to keep your kids occupied, I invite you to call Senators Bennett and Gardner and Congressman Neguse or Ken Buck if you're in his district and encourage them to restore unemployment benefits that are set to expire after Christmas and to get an Economic Relief Act passed now. Consider taking action not only as a Christmas gift to people who really need it, but as an act of your faith. Part of what Mary calls us to do is to join her in magnifying the Lord. The Greek word literally means to enlarge or to amplify. So what might it mean for you as an ordinary, everyday follower of Jesus to amplify his message? How might you turn up the volume a bit and do that this week and act from a sense of costly love? I wonder whether any of us sometimes get caught up in a current or an eddy that is tainted with the bitterness of Ebenezer Scrooge, and if we maybe need a brief visit from a spirit who will show us what the world would be like if we learn to open our hearts to one another and truly act from love and abundance. Maybe that spirit isn't the ghost imagined by Charles Dickens. Perhaps it's the spirit of Mary calling to us across the millennia to amplify the news of God's liberating reign and to rejoice in God's presence. It has been a difficult year with the pandemic, with the fires in the foothills, with political discord. And for some of us, it's been even harder as we struggle to make ends meet and keep a roof over our heads or find someplace warm and safe to sleep at night. And in the years ahead, this congregation will have a significant role to play in influencing the morals that we, as a wider community, consider. Our Christmas celebration this year, it will be different in this pandemic year. We may not be surrounded by extended family. We won't be gathering here in the sanctuary all together. But we can still unite our hearts and our hands and our voices and sing Mary's radical refrain. We can still worship together remotely and safely. We can look forward with hope at getting the pandemic under control. We can know that even if we are in solitude, that we are never alone. Christmas will be different. But my hope for you is that you find new meanings in God's unique entry into the scene of human history, and that you will become part of the story. I leave you today with the words of a great 20th century theologian, Karl Rahner. Christmas tells you in your solitude, trust your surroundings. They are not emptiness. Let go, and you will find. Renounce, and you will be rich. May it be so. Amen.